Praise the Lord. Are we alive in the house this morning? Are we alive in the house this morning? Did the smoke take your voice? That smoke tried. But it could not. We won. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I want to thank all those who are worshiping with us here in person and all those who are online worshiping with us. We thank you. We know God is not limited by distance. Like our Deaconess Maria said, you know, God is a virtual God. You know, he deals with us virtually. He's there, ever present. So we want to appreciate you. We pray this morning that your heart will be open for what God has for you this morning. Use this opportunity again to thank our senior pastor and Mommy Tinu for this opportunity to minister to God's people. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Before I start the message of this morning, I would just like us to go through our confession, please. Let's just go through that wonderful, powerful confession. Hallelujah. We should have it on the overhead. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay. 1, 2, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over here in Jesus' mighty name. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. Yet God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel with neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I am laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. Ay, ay, ay. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. Lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said he is giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah, and from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to donor, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you, cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Speak life to you. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your body. Speak life over your dreams. We are in the season of getting our dreams from God, of dreaming big again, of renewing dreams. Speak life to that dream in the name of Jesus. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, takeover, makeover, do over, walk over, and fly over here. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Put those hands together for Jesus. Can we be seated, please? Hallelujah. We're in a generation where we have a lot of incidents, and history-making incidents. So you should be privileged, count it a privilege, excited about what God has. You know, I've been reading the biography of, I don't know if any of you know who John Wesley was. About the Methodist Church. John Wesley started the Methodist Church. When you read his biography, you see when God has his hand over you, you cannot run and hide under the rock. You cannot run. Even if you want to, you will not be able to. And I've really been blessed with his biography. I will encourage all of us, each and every one of us, please, make it a commitment every year to read somebody's biography. Pick a man of God or a woman of God. There are many books out there of people who have gone before us, who have a legacy that we can look and draw inspiration, courage, you know, encouragement from. You know, you are creating your legacy as well, but there are people who have created legacies for us to kind of follow. Some of us are privileged, you know, to have these legacies written down. We have men of God who've been in Africa, and we've not had this kind of legacies written down, you know. There are many. There are many men of God you can think of. I know if you are in Nigeria, there are many men of God who started the Pentecostal movements, which some of you don't even know what happened, you know. But I encourage you. That's not what I'm teaching today. I just said maybe the Holy Spirit wants us to get something from it. So remember, last week we talked about life happens, right? Who remembers the message of last week? Right? Life happens. When life happens. And we encourage each and every one of us to go back to the message that was preached on the 28th of June. Right? Did we do that? Did we go to that message? Did we listen to Your Best Life Awaits? That message, I am encouraging you. Don't only listen to it with a book and a pen by your side. Amen? You know, in the book of Revelation, when John was receiving his revelation, there was one which he put down, and the Holy Spirit said, no, this one is not for everybody. This is for you. Eat it, chew it. You know, it's for you. There are things which the Holy Spirit is ready to tell you, for you, right? It's for you to get. This is we are in a season. I'm telling you, we are in a season where God is about to bless. Like the pastor said in his message, there's an apostolic, you know, garment. There's an apostolic grace that has been released from our youths, our children, to our old men and women. That apostolic grace is there for us to take. We don't want to be observers in this season. We don't want to just look. We want to be active participants. We want to be part of this work that God has prepared for us. Amen. You know, God has something for us. And that's why this morning I will be talking about reading, getting an inspiration from the book of Joshua. Surprise, it's not David, it's not Joseph. Amen? I know those are the two people I like to preach on. But this morning we are going to talk about an experience Joshua had. I don't know, Sunday school. Do you know who Joshua was? Do you know who Joshua was as Sunday school kids? Are you hearing? Do you know who Joshua was? I will be shocked if you don't know who Joshua was. Amen? Amen. Some of us knew Joshua from the book, from the Ten Commandments movie. The old Ten Commandments, popular Ten Commandments movie. We knew who Joshua was from there, you know. So, but I'd like to just go through an incident that happened with Joshua. You know, Joshua was this disciple of Moses. We could say he's the one who Moses was mentoring to take over his work. You know, but what Moses did not know was Joshua was going to be the one who would take the children of Israel to the promised land. You know. That was God's plan. Moses did not know that. Moses was mentoring this young man. This young man was among the spies, you know, who went out to look at the land and came back with a report. He and Caleb came and they gave their report. Their report was not based on what they saw, but based on the opportunities that they saw. They were not based on the obstacles that they saw, but it was based on the opportunities, the land, the fruitfulness of the land, how they can till that land, how what they saw, the trees, you know, the fruits, the food. That's what they saw. And when Joshua came back to give his report, he put God first. He said, yes, there are the giants in the land. We are not focusing on that. We went to explore the goodness of the land. We did not go to explore the obstacles in the land. Praise the Lord. You see, the devil always wants us to focus on the obstacles, while God wants us to see the opportunities. When God told Moses, what do you have in your hand? What did he see? A stick. God saw a snake from that stick. What God sees is what matters. Hallelujah. So now this young man had his burden. Big burden. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5 from verse 1. He had this big burden to take these people who were stiff-necked, like his mentor Moses described them. He had a burden. He did not know how he would go about it. He had an open heavens moment. He had an opportunity to get from God. You know, before, if you go from, your spare time, if you go to chapter 3, it starts telling you how God was giving him instructions on how, you know, take the ark and get into the river Jordan. The moment the priests will lay their hand on their foot on that river, water will stop flowing from Adam. And then how, you know, the children of Israel went through this river Jordan, which was, we could say, signify like baptism again. The children of Israel went through some baptism, some renewal, some realignment. Remember last week? The children of Israel went through some realignment by going through Jordan. Reminded them, especially the women and those who are below 18 years, it reminded them again of one the same thing that happened when they went through the Red Sea. Oh, River Nile, sorry. Amen? It reminded them. That was an opportunity for them. They went through this baptism, and then they went and they sat by the shores of River Jordan, and in front of them was a city called Jericho. So in chapter 5, from verse 1, it says, "Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them." 2, it says, "At that time, the Lord told Joshua, say, make flint knives and circumcise this second generation of Israelites." What version is that? New Living Translation. The second generation, that's good. "So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth." I am not a Jew to understand how to read those words. That 3, you say at Gibeah, what again? verse 3. At Gibeah Haraloth. Okay? Hallelujah. Now Joshua received instructions, specific instructions on what to do. Now, like I said, I always consider open heavens to be a time for me to realign myself, calibrate. And I gave you the example of what realigning your vehicle cars were. Open heavens was my time of realigning myself. And I have been blessed. I have been blessed daily. For those of you who have gone through the message and you know the assignment that was given, I hope you are doing your 30-day journey, your miracle journey. I hope you are doing it. Because if you do your 30-day miracle journey, you will not be the same. You will not. You will want to be normal, but you will not be normal. I am telling you. You will want to be the same, but you will not be the same. You will not. So this was Joshua, a young man who is afraid of, how am I going to do this? How am I going to bring up, lead this vast majority of men? And they were not old, they were young men, because remember, they had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and every male who left Egypt, 18 years and above, had died. Male had died. And you could say the women were left with a burden to bring up this generation. Took care of them. And so Joshua came and said, okay, this is my time. What is God saying? Now, God was preparing Joshua for a very huge task. Joshua was the one God used to conquer the lands. Amen? They had a lot of obstacles. They had a lot of people waiting for them to fight war. Because like it says in verse 1, the kings had melted when they heard what God had done to Jordan. They were like, these people, I don't know how we are going to fight them. Their God is a big God. How are we going to win? They melted in their heart, but Joshua did not know this. Amen? Joshua did not know this, but God knew. God knew that the kings did not have the courage to attack the children of Israel. He knew everything. So God knows when your enemy is down. Hallelujah. God knows when their plans have been frustrated, which you don't even know. There are people behind there concocting plans against you. You don't know. You are not aware of it. God knows. And the Bible says, when their hearts had fainted, then God gave Joshua an instruction, something which he did, which if you look at in Genesis, I think 38, where Levi and Simeon, you know, told these Shechem guys that, look, if you want to marry my sister, you have to do what? Circumcise yourself. And the Bible says, on the third day when they were sore, means they were weak, Levi and Simeon went and killed these men. So God said, I have a plan. I want to use my children. But there's something that they lack. First of all, when I look at them, I don't see that covenant I had with Abraham. That the covenant of circumcision. God did not see it. I cannot walk with the people whose heart have not been circumcised. Who have not been circumcised physically. I need to put them in that place where I can use them. And so God put a fear in the kings in that area. So that they will not attack the children of Israel. Why? Because when they are going through their circumcision on the third day, when they are sore, when they are vulnerable, the kings will not have the hearts to come and attack them. Yeah. Trust me. God knows when our enemies are vulnerable. Hallelujah. God knows when they are weak. That's when God comes and tells you, you can do it. Go and do this thing that you wanted to do. You have a plan, you have a project you want to do, and you have enemies that are standing on the door and waiting to just crush you. God knows when they are weak, and then he begins to whisper, that project that you wanted to do, do it, do it. They are weak. They are afraid. They are sore. Their hearts are melted. Stand up and begin to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God was in the business of getting Joshua and the children of Israel ready to be used for this great task that he had ahead of them. And so the first thing he did was, what did he do? He said, I will do my circumcision. You'll be circumcised. So whenever I look at you, I see obedience. I see a generation that could obey in their old age, allow themselves to be circumcised. They did not resist it. Ah, why? I'm old for this thing right now. Why? We are God's children. God, we crossed the Jordan without circumcision. What is this? Is this a new way? What new thing is this? Why do we need it? When God looks at them, he sees obedience. When God looks at them, he realizes, he now says, you belong to me. Because remember, circumcision, it was a covenant that God gave Abraham. You know? When I looked at you, look, your generations will be like the stars of the earth, you know, and everything. And then he says, when God looks at them, he says, there is a promise I made to Abraham which I have to fulfill. You are circumcised, your circumcision speaks to me. That I have to do what I promised Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, there are things which God has told you to do. Amen? There are things which God has told you to do. This morning, I want to encourage you, revisit them. Maybe you put them down. You threw them somewhere in your closet. You've forgotten about them. This morning, I am encouraging you. Go back to those things and look at them. If you don't like to write, write them down. Amen? I wrote some of my dreams down, and I wake up in the morning and I read them. Sometimes I'm like, ah, this dream too. I just got a big dream this year. You know, say that big God with you. For this PG, sorry, bro. Say, what kind of big dream is this? But you know what? It's a dream. See, a young man shall dream dreams, right? We have to dream. You cannot accomplish something if you don't dream them. Amen? Now, you go to class, you have those students who are really doing well in class. I mean, if you go 99% of the time, those students dream big dreams. They want to be something. Either they want to be first in that class, or they have already seen themselves, projected themselves 15 years from now. Maybe in a doctor's robe, or working with NASA, you know, or, you know, that powerful nurse that they always call upon when they have issues because they know their stuff. They have this vision that they are dreaming about. Until they have that dream, then they will be able to put their effort, their time to fulfill and accomplish it. Because why? Because when you have that dream and you put in time and you accomplish it, there's satisfaction that comes with it. You begin to thank God. You begin to thank God that, yes, this dream has been accomplished. That is why I like convocations. I like to go to graduations. Because in graduations, I not only see accomplishments that these students make, I see some satisfaction in their parents, their families. I went to a convocation in the Wollstone Center, which a friend invited me. And I was sitting there and I was just looking. And then I saw a family. When they called their brother or their sister or their son, or the way this family shouted, even after they had cautioned that, please, just wait. When they call, allow them to come and then get their diploma, you know. There's enough time for that. This family said, that one na your own. Do you know how long we'll be waiting for this? Do you even know that he's the first person in our family to get this? This was the dream that we had for him. He has made us proud. Hallelujah. When kids dream and they fulfill their dream, the parents are happy. Now, if you go, I think it's in the Kings. You will see that there was when they were mentioning kings, you know, they said this one was the one who led Israel into idolatry, you know, and in his stead, if you want to go and read. But there were a few that whenever they talked about them, they did well. You know who they always give the credit to? The mother. They always gave the credit that this king, he ruled Israel in a very way. He made Israel to come back to God. And he was the mother, the son of the mother. Because they had accomplished something. We have to dream these dreams. We have to work towards the accomplishment of these dreams. Joshua did not know that God was arranging him for the great task ahead. He passed the circumcision one, went through. And then the next one was what? They had to do a Passover. Remember, Joshua was he was mentored by Moses. Whatever Moses did, Joshua was trying to emulate. He was trying to follow, right? Who gave the Passover? It was Moses. Before they left Egypt, Moses, the Passover, you know, the Passover lamb, when God promised that the first sons would die, it was the Passover that preserved the children of Israel. Now, this man had crossed Jordan. He crossed Jordan like they crossed the River Nile, and then crossed, and then now it was time for God to use him. But God said, no, bring the children and let us observe the Passover. So Joshua had to circumcise them. Now, go to 5, let's see. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years of in the wilderness had been circumcised. 6. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. 7. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. 8. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. 9. Now, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Hallelujah. Then, while the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. All right, they had finished the first one, circumcision. They went out to Passover. If you go to 12, no, the very next day they began, I think 11. The very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. Now, harvested from the land, they started eating from the promised land. Right? God had promised, God had been feeding them all this wild manna. But from the moment they started eating from the land, manna stopped. Because God's promise was fulfilled. They were walking under grace in the wilderness each morning, knowing and believing that their food will be, they will get their food. You know, they were spoiled. But this day, they ate from the land and manna stopped. Because when God begins to fulfill his promises in our lives, when God begins to move in our lives, the things that we rely and depend on, they will stop. Hallelujah. God wants us, then we'll start working and believing God for the things that he has promised us from the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that was Joshua, who was going through his open heavens and getting instructions from God. You know? And God was telling him. Now, we have in the Bible, God says he has a plan. He knows the plans he has for us, right? If you go to Jeremiah 29:11. Say, I know the plans. I know it. I know it. God knew the plans he had for Joshua. But Joshua did not know the plans God had for him. The only thing Joshua knew was that I had to do what God had asked me to do. And I know that when I do what God asked me to do, all the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, whatever we have, whoever is spread across this line, all of them will be conquered. Amen. All of them will be conquered. Now, God gives you a dream. You write it down. But you don't know how that dream will be accomplished. You don't know how it will be fulfilled. But there's one thing you should know. That God is the one who says, I know the plans I have for you. My life is God's plan. Hallelujah. Now, when you begin to live with this conscious, active belief that my life is God's plan, then you know that nothing that God has not planned for you will happen to you. Amen? It means God will take care of everything. That's what God was trying to go through, to take Joshua through this. God was just telling him, I'm preparing you because I want to have access so that I can do what I have promised. I promised Abraham. I'm preparing you because I want to have access. I want you to get this circumcision, to be circumcised. You go through the Passover. Passover was a remembrance. So that when you do it with your children and they ask you, bitter herbs. Why are we eating bitter herbs? It does not make sense, Dad. You say, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because you do not know what God did for us. Let me tell you what God did for us. Let me give you a learning opportunity. A traditional method of history. You know traditional history? Where you pass from one person to the other, oral. You just speak. Let me give you. You see, bitter herbs. These bitter herbs that you see. There was a time we were slaves in Egypt. And God showed up in a mighty way. And when God showed up in a mighty way, he instructed us. He knew that, look, we are going to forget what he has done. And so he put a day, this day, that we should eat bitter herbs. And then we will remember what he did. And so when I was reading this biography from John Wesley, he was saying that was in the 18th century, 1730 something. He said the state of the church in England was a mess. He said, if you looked at the church, people were coming to church only on Sundays. And after that, in short, even from that Sunday, after they've gone back, there was, he said, like every other house or every other five house was a zone for liquor, drinking. See, that plague had taken over England. He said, there was no hope. He said, he would look at the church and he would look at people and he would be like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Said there was no life in the Church of England. Said there was no. He said there was something that he was somebody who grew up in a family of, I think they said the mother had 19 children. You can imagine. With one woman had 19 children. Say some died, but he said the mother brought them up in the strictest of way imaginable. That the mother brought them up in serving God, in reading the Bible, in that the mother had one-on-one interaction with them once every week for all her children. With all her children, every week unfailing, the mother will meet with them and teach them the gospel, teach them the word of God, discipline their mind. He grew up in a very disciplined way. That is why when he went to the Oxford University, it is said that because of his method of how he grew up, he brought it in the Oxford. He brought friends and told them the Bible and showed them how to study the Bible and everything. So people now used it as a mockery and said, those people are, they have methods. That's how the name Methodist came. You see, when you have a task, the world might think they are mocking you, but they are giving you an opportunity to expand. Visibility. You remember that? So is that not how they call the Christians in Antioch? Those who are following Christ, those Christians. And today everybody following Christ all over the place, they call them Christians. You accept a name that they give you to mock you, but it becomes your identity for success and for progress. You know? So there are these things. So now when I began to read it, and I'm like, oh my goodness. See, life, history is cyclical. So I began to remember, and I know in my heart that when iniquity shall abound, revival is knocking on the door. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have been aware, or if you have been tuned to what is happening in the world today, the level of iniquity, of animosity, of hatred, of competition, of covetousness, of sin, the increase of it, it's signaling that God has a move that is coming. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be part of it. That is why during this, my 30-day of miracle journey, I am begging God, I want to be part of this move. As you have this apostolic mantle, let me not be left behind. Let my children not be left behind. Let a elite church not be left behind. We want to be part of this. We can see the iniquity and feel bad. Of course, we have to. That if you don't feel bad, something is wrong with you. If you see the way people celebrate sin, and it doesn't shake you or move you in any way, something ain't right with you. Something ain't right. We don't want to be those who have become, like the pastor said, minimalists. We don't want to be minimalists. We don't want to accept the barest minimum and say that is where my grace ends. No, 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 that's not where your grace ends. Grace has come to give us supernatural abilities. It has come to make to allow us to do things that otherwise we wouldn't have done under normal circumstances. I don't want to be a minimalist. As iniquity increases, the door for revival is opening. It's opening. It's opening. But God uses people for revival. Hallelujah. God uses somebody for revival. You read about revival, this is the Azusa House. If you read any all these revivals, you will see that during that time, the sin was at the pinnacle. It was up there. And it was mainstream. If you don't accept it, you are an outcast. That's how it is today. If you don't accept this way of life, or if you don't accept this ideology, you are an outcast. But you know, God has called us during this time to equip ourselves for the revival that is coming. Amen. Like the pastor said, our children, they are going to be part of this revival. Amen. Students, you are going to be part of this revival. Amen. You know, when I was listening to the pastor and he said a 14-year-old came and preached the gospel to him before he gave his life, that's a testimony for many of us. It was somebody in their teens. I gave my life in my teens. It was another group of teenagers who came and preached. Actually, two of my uncles in their teens. One was slightly above their teen, but the other one was my age, a teenager like me. That day he came and preached the gospel to me. And so when there's a revival coming from all angles, as long as you present yourself before God, God is going to use you. Hallelujah. Because I trust, I tell you, God is still in the business of saving souls. Oh yes, the world needs salvation. The world needs God. But God will not just send an angel to come and preach the gospel. It is us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, in conclusion, I would like us to talk about the last thing Joshua did. The last thing Joshua did. Let's go to 13, let's see. Joshua 5:13. The Bible says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you a friend or a foe?" Can I have it in King James, please? Are you a friend or a foe? See, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" The polarizing nature of the world today. They want you to be in one place, one side. If you are not in this side, you are an enemy. You are not, you know. I hear some people say, "We will not even date somebody who is from this other side." The polarizing nature of the human being. They always want to have sides, you know. Joshua, in his mind, that's what he had. Are you for us or against us? Because if you are not for us, please just go aside, because we don't want business. We don't have business together, you know. I was telling one of my friends about 2 weeks ago, we were talking, and I was telling him, the way we are polarized even in the church now, it aches me. I said, because I have believers who say, because you are from this side, I will not talk with you. You know, because you don't even know what you're doing. I'm like, it has even moved to pulpits where you see there are pulpits that have been shaped, you know, that thrive with division, that thrive with identifying themselves with one side of the political aisle or an ideology. You know, they thrive in that. A very sad situation. Very sad. Very sad. And I told him, look, if I come to your church and you begin to make all these things, I am leaving. I said, because the pulpit was meant to edify. The pulpit was meant to build God's children.
The pulpit was meant to rebuke us. Maybe we are going on the wrong direction. That's what the pulpit was meant for. The pulpit was not meant for us to identify one side and another just like the world does. The world should not dictate the message that comes from our pulpit. The world should not put a stamp of approval. Say, okay, because you preach this way, you are one of us. That's what's going on. We have preachers who will die on the hill for a particular party. Forgotten about God. The purpose for which God put them there to edify the church of God. To direct, to be pastors, There are people who know about whatever is happening in the political world today, but they don't even know what's happening to that sister or that brother in their church. They don't. And so when Joshua asked this man he saw, he did not even know who the man was. Are you for us or against us? Friend or foe? Friend or foe? Because in his mind, he knew that if he was a foe, he's dead. I don't want to deal with him. If he was a friend, then he will be part of us. He will bring him into our midst. We will tell him what we do. We will tell him about our culture. We will tell him about what we are for and all that. No. You see what the Bible says? If you go to the next chapter, the next verse, he says on 14, says, and he said, oh, no. Nay. Say, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come, right? Captain of the host of the Lord. Say, Joshua, oh, forgive me. He fell, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what said my Lord unto his servant? Forgive my mistake. Forgive my mistake. I've been too partisan. Forgive my mistake. You have to come to a place where people look at you and they cannot really know where you are, where you stand. They look at you and say, but this guy, this is. And then when you start talking, they say, I know now. No. This one is kingdom bound. This one is kingdom bound. There's no need to convince him. It's kingdom bound. I remember when I just came here. You know, when you come here, you don't know things. Somebody wants to sell you their old phone, which somebody sold to me, and I was like, what is all this? This phone does not work. Why would you sell me an old phone like this? And you know, we are back from Africa. We saw these phones. They were powerful. People either want, or they want you to go to their bank. Why? Because they'll have referrals. They want you to go to their doctor. Why? They have referrals. Everybody has something they want you to get from you. And also, I did not know about the political aspect of it until one day I sat in somebody's room and they started talking about politics. I'm like, what's going on here? I said, that's not how I roll. You tell me something, I go and look at it. I don't just assume things. Because you say it is gospel. Nah, it's not. Then I said, okay, yeah, I'm intrigued. What's going on? And then I started reading. I said, this thing is, it's old school. It's Roman, the Roman Empire stuff. For those of you who know history, it's old school. It's politics. Everybody claimed they are the best. They are the one of the hour. At the end of the day, it's God who is the one of the hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the knowledge that I want us to have this morning. At the end of the day, God is the one who is the man of the hour. It is what God has planned for you that will stand. It's not what somebody goes there and begins to promise to do. No, that's not it. Not that you should not be, aware of what's going on or if you want to participate, but that should not be a priority. As children of God, we have a kingdom business to do. And the kingdom business is salvation, is to preach the gospel like it says, you impact the nation one person at a time. That is it. Now, you think we are wasting our time when we do a vision prayer. No, we are not. we are praying these things, it will come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It will come to pass. And so Joshua was, he said, I made a mistake. The God was telling him, this is a battle that will be fought by me. I will win it for you, Joshua. I have my captain. My captain has not come for you or for the Canaanites. My captain has come for me. It is my purpose and my plans that my captain is here for. And so when Joshua looked at it, the Bible says he fell. And if you look at the following verse, what the angel told him, he said, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. That reminds you of who? Moses. So you see, Joshua has gone through a season of discipleship, fulfilling what his mentor went through, preparing him now for the big task ahead. He's gone through his open heavens. He's been realigned. They've realigned him. So whatever Moses did, you have done it. You are ready for me to be used. And what happened after that? The Bible scholars. After that, Joshua went, got specific instructions on how to fight the battle in Jericho. Specific. Say, you will go around this place once for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you will go seven times. And then you will say, you will shout. And as the walls are falling, everybody will have to go out straight with your purpose, your vision, your dream. You don't look left. You don't look right. You don't look at another person's dream and begin to convert them. No. The Bible says, when this wall falls down and God begins to open room for you, God has given you a vision. Follow after that your vision. Amen. Amen. That is why the pastor says, write them down. Because when the walls will fall as they are fallen and the dreams have been dispersed, you take your dream like they told, like the children of Israel, everybody goes straight. Amen. Look, God's instructions, you might think they are simple, but they are powerful. Amen. You might think when he told Noah to build the ark and set this thing cubits, the door should be this cubit, the window shall be this cubit, you might think it's for anything. No, 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 no. Each dimension had a purpose. You might think he told Moses to build the ark and he said the window, the door, the blinds, the priest will have an effort, the cherubim will be so and so long. And then he says for beauty and for glory. Remember, that's what he says. It is not for anything. God is telling us that the dreams that we are getting through this 30-day miracle, when we get that dream and the walls are falling, you know, and you are praying the second prayer on that fourth point that the pastor gave, what tangible things do you want me to do, God? When God begins to give you those tangible things, the dreams, his work, you go straight and do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is somebody having something this morning? Are we having something this morning? Hallelujah. So God is calling us to circumcise our hearts. If you go to Colossians 2:11. If we go to Colossians 2:11. God is calling us to circumcise our hearts like Joshua circumcised the children of Israel. He was getting them ready for this big task. And boy, did Joshua fight wars. Joshua fought wars for God. He fought wars. There were moments where the Achaeans rose up and messed up things. You know, where they will go for war and they will come with their pride and say, ah, these people, 3,600 people can beat them. And 3,600 people will go and they will beat them. They will run away. Remember, that was the battle in AI, the people of AI. We call it not artificial intelligence, AI. There's a city in the Bible called AI. Okay? But Joshua fought these wars. God gave him victories. What did Joshua not do? He fought wars and fought wars and fought wars. But he could be used. Why? Because God, from the beginning, had put him on that foundation of success, where his heart was, the guy he was, and every doubt he had that he will not do what, he will not be like Moses. God told him, nah, you will do it. It is me. It wasn't Moses. It was me. You see, you're standing on holy ground. Remove your shoe. Moses, the same thing he did with Moses. You're crossing the Jordan. Same thing. Circumcision. Same thing. Passover. Same thing. So everything that you were, maybe you were afraid that you will not be able to do, everything that Moses did, you have done it. So you are ready for to be used by me. In Colossians 2:11, it says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We have been circumcised, our hearts. Sin should not be part of our lives. We have a task that God has for us. There's no time to joke around. Praise the Lord. There's no time to joke around. Last week I told you how the world has passion for their things. They have passion. They can sacrifice for their things. It's their own. I don't blame them for it. I envy them, actually. Why shouldn't we have that passion? This is not time to play, to joke around. It's not. This is time for work. It is time for us to march on. It is time for us to put on that garment. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up, please. It's a call that the Holy Spirit is calling this morning. Say, I want my children. I want them to be part of what is about to happen. I want my children to be part of it. I want my children to know that they also can be used in these last days. Keep going through your messages. Keep going through your dreams that you've written down. Keep listening to these messages. Your best life awaits. Your best life awaits. Oh, your best life awaits. Your best life awaits. Your best life awaits for your children. Yes. We worry too much about our children. You know, we don't know what they are being taught in school. You have to go through a process of realignment. We worry too much about them. But God is saying, your best life awaits for your children. Your children will come out the way God wants them to come out. Just keep praying for them. Just keep teaching them. Just keep having that relationship with them. And God will take care of the rest. You worry too much about your job. You worry too much about your job. Am I going to be promoted or am I going to be fired? You worry too much. God is saying your best life awaits. Your best life awaits. And that is what I believe. I believe that my best life awaits. Anxiety shall not overtake me. I believe that my best life awaits. You worry too much. Stop worrying. stop worrying. There is hope. There is hope because the plan that my life is based off is God's plan. God Himself is the one who has my life, the plan for my life. Yes. While God is giving me instructions, my enemies are weakened. They are melting in their hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your children. Speak life over your family. As you get your dream and the walls fall, go steadfast towards your dream. Steadfast. Don't look left. Don't look right. Go steadfast towards your dream. Take your dream. Possess it. Make it yours. Leave it. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. Or this afternoon, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because you are reminding us that the plan is yours for our lives. Yes, Lord. That through Joshua, you are showing us that you have it figured out. You have it figured out. You have everything figured out, Lord. The great dreams that you are putting in our hearts, you have these dreams figured out. We rely on you, Father. We rely on you for the fulfillment of every dream. Dream in our minds, dreams that have been put down on paper. We depend on you for the accomplishment of these dreams. Father, that as we go through this 30-day journey, miracle journey, Lord, we will come out of it victorious and on another level. On another level, Lord. Those things we've prayed, those things we've desired, relationships with you, fellowshipping with you, it will come to us. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the move that you have. And we are going to be part of this move. We are going to be part of this move. We are not going to be left behind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord. Oh.